Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Crest Diglio.
Hello, and welcome to IBBA Insights. I'm your host, Crest Diglio. And this week, we're going to start off an exciting series for the next three shows. We're dedicating it on minority-owned businesses. We like to base our show around the hot topics in business. Nowadays, there's nothing hotter than COVID-19 and the pandemic that we've that's taken over the world. I can't just say, you know, our area of the United States, but the world. And it's been devastating to business owners. And we've done quite a few shows on that. But there are some other hot topics in the news, and that would have to be businesses that are owned by minorities. And I kind of want to touch on that because the way minority business enterprise is described, it's described as a designation for businesses which are at least 51% owned, operated, and controlled on a daily basis by one or more citizens of the following ethnic minority, which would be African American, Asian American, or Pacific Islander, Hispanic American, or Native American, and gender, which would be woman-owned businesses. And so some people would say we've come a long way with minority-owned businesses. Others say we have a long way to go. An interesting statistic, according to the Minority Business Development Agency, minorities own more than 8 million firms and account for nearly $1.4 trillion in revenue. So, you know, we have a long way to go where it comes to opportunities within this sector, but you know, there are some strong numbers out there, and there are a lot of people out there that are doing very well and have great companies. And that's the focus on our series. We're going to take the next 3 weeks and talk to really three incredible people and learn more about their drive towards business ownership. And this week, we're going to share the life story of Lisa Coker, who's a minority business owner. We're going to hear about her journey from Dallas Baptist University to the United States Air Force to becoming the founder and owner of Infinite Management Solutions. To give you a little background on Lisa, we're going to touch into her military background and business ownership and college and university days. But before we get into that, I want to talk about the Dayton Business Journal recognized Lisa as one of the region's brightest young professionals and named her a 2018 40 Under 40 Award winner. She continues to strive for excellence and gives back to her community. Lisa was recently named to the Business Journal's national list of influential young executives, Rising Stars. Rising Stars spotlights 100 people in business across the country who are having an impact relatively early in their careers on their companies and their communities. In her spare time, Lisa enjoys running and traveling with her husband and three children. So without further ado, I want to welcome Lisa Coker to IBBA Insights. Lisa, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Chris. It's my pleasure.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. I was so excited when Kate Reiner was able to, who works very closely with our shows and helps us line up some guests, and she came to me and our committee with your story, and I said, "Oh, would she please come on our show?" And you were so kind enough to do so. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, Chris. No problem. As I've mentioned before, Kate is a dear friend of mine and a fellow Dayton Rotarian. So anytime she calls, I answer the call. So thank you so much. And thanks for asking me to be here, Chris. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. So let's just jump right into it. I want to start maybe even before your Dallas Baptist University days, and talk to you about when did you know, was it early in life or during some part of your early stages of your careers, when did you know you wanted to be a business owner?
You know, it was not a childhood dream of mine. I did not know many entrepreneurs as I was growing up, so I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, and joined the Air Force and traveled the nation from being in the Air Force. So it wasn't until after joining the Air Force and maybe serving for about 12 or 13 years where the business owner opportunity started looking good to me. I thought I was going to be a career Air Force person, having retired after like 25 or 30 years. That was the goal. But then I pivoted. And so I just think all of a sudden my career, I had hit kind of a plateau, and I wasn't looking forward to moving to D.C. to go to the Pentagon and do more military work. So I wanted to stay here in Dayton, Ohio, and business ownership was my next step in my career and the evolution of Lisa Coker.
Well, that's great. Well, let's talk prior to your career in the Air Force, and you were at Dallas Baptist University. How did that prepare you for life maybe within the Air Force and then beyond as far as a business owner? Your days at Dallas Baptist University, what did they mean to your career today?
Yes, I often reflect on it. So I did my graduate degree there in change management, so a master's in change management. And the premise of my degree was basically change is inevitable. So get used to it, be prepared to manage through it and lead through it. I would also say that one of the most important foundational principles of Dallas Baptist was to be a servant leader. And so imagine having been there 3-4 years, and all you really learn about, not all you learn about, but one thing that they make sure that you leave there knowing is that you're there to serve the people. So if you're in a leadership position, it's not about you, it's about your people and the mission. So coupled with that, along with managing change, and then being in the military where you're leading and changing and solving mission problems, it was just kind of the perfect launch pad. That's what I would say. So Dallas Baptist was pivotal in me becoming a business owner. In making that decision, I had the confidence to move out on it because of my time at Dallas Baptist University.
What a great thing to learn early on in anybody's life, let alone career. I mean, it's hard to be a influential or really great leader where people will follow you if they don't respect you, if they don't trust you, if they don't have faith in you. And if you're not one that is a giver and one that cares about the people, and they see that you're only out for yourself and you're not looking out for them, it's always difficult to get anyone to want to follow you or do great things underneath you, because they're just not emotionally and mentally committed to helping or working with you. So what a great lesson you learned very early on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has served me well, Chris.
I can imagine. you know, I've worked for many people or with many people in the past where they were in leadership positions and it really was more of a dictatorship and, you know, just do what I say. And that's because, and it comes from the old mentality of sometimes growing up and your parents say, well, you know, just don't worry about why I'm telling you to just do it because I told you so. It's a lot more meaningful when your leader asks you to do something and they know that you would do it yourself because they've seen you do it, and you lead by example. You gain a lot of respect from people that way.
Right. Absolutely. So I would say my time at Dallas Baptist instilled that along with my time in the Air Force.
Well, let's fast forward to the Air Force. So there's a major point in here that I wanted to touch on, because in reading up about you and learning and talking with Kate, one of the things I learned that I think surely had a great influence and help to you in being a business owner was one of your major accomplishments was being involved in leading a 120-member team in a strategic planning project for the Air Force Material Command 4-star general commander, who oversees a $60 billion budget and over 80,000 employees. That had to be a great experience for you.
It was. It was amazing, to say the least. To be able to lead and guide that large of a team of Air Force senior leaders from across the world to be able to come with a final product that our four-star general, no kidding, could stamp with her approval, and then moved out. And so once you've been a part of that, it's hard to, there's not much more you can do, in my perspective, without having to move to Washington, D.C. And so I have a family and we wanted to stay in Dayton, Ohio. And I like to say that having finished that project, I was ready, I was confident, I had all of the skill sets and competencies as far as I knew at the time to go ahead and start my own business. Little did I know that I didn't know it all, but I felt very confident that if I could complete that with stellar reviews, that I was ready to move on to the next level. And so thank God it's worked out really well since then.
Yeah. So your biggest takeaway from your time serve and your service in the U.S. Air Force would be?
My biggest takeaway is lead from the front. Don't turn down a challenge. Feel confident or be confident in being able to figure things out. I didn't have to know how to. Of course, I had the training and the skills to lead that large of a team. But when I was asked, I didn't. I wasn't 100% confident, but I was 100% confident in my problem-solving skills to be able to figure it out and building a team around me to make sure that we could execute flawlessly. And that's exactly what I did. So teamwork makes the dream work. That's one big takeaway from the military. There's no one person who does it all. And then don't be afraid to lead. Those are some of the key takeaways. I have so many more, Chris, but I'll leave it there.
No, that's fine. Look, your background is so unique and diverse. I mean, you have a biblical background with the Dallas Baptist University. You have a military background with the U.S. Air Force. And combining the things you learned from both, I mean, set you up, I believe, so well to be the leader that you are today. And we talked about the accolades that you've received in your business career so far. So kudos to you.
Thank you. I would echo that, definitely. The faith background, the schooling that I've chose, the different schools that I've chose to attend, and then my military experience has all set me up. So thanks, Chris.
No, you're welcome. I'm just the person that gets to talk to mention the things you've done. I mean, the thanks goes to you for all that you've done. So, you know, now you're out of Dallas Baptist, you've had your career in the Air Force, and now you decide to go on and become a business owner. And at what point did you decide to begin Infinite Management Solutions?
So it was probably 5 years ago. I was the beauty of my Air Force career is that I've been able to serve in different capacities. So I served as an active duty Air Force airman, and then I served as a civil servant. And so in both of those capacities, you get to learn different skills. You go through different training. And then from my civil service time frame, I figured, okay, the next evolution would be to become a business owner. And so that was probably about 5 years ago when I made the decision to take the leap of faith. And so
now how far, if you don't mind me asking, was this after your military career had ended?
It was really at the same time.
Okay.
So it really was. It was the seed was kind of planted. And I said, okay, by the time it's time for me to jump, it was kind of a smooth transition from civil service to business ownership.
So now you're in business ownership. You have Infinite, you create and you're founder of Infinite Management Solutions. What is Infinite Management Solutions and why did you choose this field?
Yes, so it is. We are a business transformation consulting agency, And we help businesses and leaders basically grow or turn things around. So think of all things change. So again, I've leveraged my training from Dallas Baptist University, but all things change management. So as organizations are going through change, we provide all of the communications to ensure that their external and internal stakeholders are aware of what's going on. We take care of all kinds of operational excellence, budgeting, marketing, all things kind of business operations for organizations, whether it's nonprofit or for-profit. And we're primarily in the Department of Defense space right now. So that's kind of Infinite Management Solutions. I chose the name because one morning I was doing my morning devotionals and the name kind of dropped in my spirit. So that's the name I went with, Infinite. And so we provide solutions. So that's how I came up with the name, Infinite Management Solutions.
Well, that's a great story. I mean, it's you can't go wrong when that's how the name comes to you.
Right. I said, okay, I'll take it. argument here.
So you have this company now. How do you get off the ground running? What is your where do you get your direction from?
Right. So here's the beauty. My husband is an entrepreneur, and so he had started his business maybe about 3 years before me. And so it was really nice to be able to have my partner, my spouse, to be able to bump different things up against him. But I would also say networking. And so in Dayton, there are so many different organizations that you can kind of plug yourself into. And so I really immersed myself kind of piggybacking on that minority-owned small business certification. So I really plugged into the women organizations in Dayton. And when I tell you, that's really where I met Kate, through one of those. Oh my goodness, they were pivotal in my business getting off the ground, because what I found in the various networking, so I partnered with or I joined the Women in Defense. So they're a women organization in the Dayton community. And it's really a national community, a national organization, but they have various chapters across the nation. I joined them. And so their whole perspective is all Department of Defense. So giving back to the troops and getting plugged into the communities. So that kind of thing I joined. I also joined Women in Business Networking, which is in Dayton. And so that was very helpful. So getting in and learning how I could add value to these different organizations and the women that were a part of these organizations. So that was probably the first year strategy, just kind of like really getting into the Dayton community. Because if you've ever been in the Air Force or the military or any veterans that are out there, typically when you're in the community, if you're stationed in the community, you're kind of focused just on the mission of whatever that branch of service you're in. So sometimes you don't get out into the community that you live in. You're just kind of really on that installation or the base. And so that was the first thing I did when I hung up my uniform. I said, I'm going to get immersed in the Dayton and Ohio community. I need to see what's going on outside of the base. And that has served me well, because the need is great.
That's great advice, whether you're in minority-owned business or just business in general. I mean, you can't go wrong with the advice that you've just given. I mean, if you take it, again, back from your Dallas Baptist days, you know, you had a family there, your U.S. Air Force days, you had a family there. Now do your business career and you look at these groups that you've joined, that becomes part of your family. And that's where a lot of the things take place and happen, and referrals can be made. You know, people get to know who you are and the quality of person you are and what your company can do. And it opens up so many doors.
Absolutely. I mean, the networking, the building relationships, the not looking for a relationship to see what you can get out of it, but no kidding, how can I add value to this relationship? or to this organization or this community. I think going into that, that's one of our slogans around IMS, which we go by is Infinite Management Solutions, but we go by IMS. And we're always saying, how do we add value? How do we add value? We're always looking to add value to whatever relationship or commitment we signed up for. So we look to add value.
It's all about lifting everyone else up rather than dragging them down, right? Lifting others up.
Absolutely.
I'm all for that. Well, you check off a number of the boxes when you talk on minority-based businesses we talked about earlier. You talk about gender as far as being a woman-owned business. You talk about being African-American. You talk about being retired military. So you could talk about all these different things, but it really seems like your focus has been more towards the on the woman-based business groups. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say yes. That has been where I've geared a lot of my effort and time. Yes.
Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions. One deals mm-hmm. with a negative aspect first. So we'll do that first, so then we can end on the higher note, on the positive.
Okay.
What have been some of your biggest obstacles you faced being a minority-owned business?
You know, I would say the biggest obstacle has been access to capital. And I would tell anybody that. That's probably been my only obstacle to date. That has been, it was really an eye opener. And thankfully, I had, you know, because I had served in the military as long as I did, I had some, you know, various retirement accounts and money stored that I could tap into for business expenses. But had I not, I often think about that, and I thought about it when I was denied a couple of times. I was thinking, oh my goodness, had I not prepared, and at the time I wasn't preparing to be a business owner, I was just preparing, you know, setting aside a nest egg. But I often thought, I was thankful that I had followed, you know, the wisdom of some of my mentors and put something to the side, but not every business owner has done that, right? Someone has a great idea, but they don't have a lot of money saved to be able to tap into. What are they supposed to do? And you know, what kinds of programs are out there from the banking institutions or other organizations to fund these, venture capitalists, things like that. So like I said, the biggest obstacle for me was access to capital, meaning using the bank funds or getting a business loan, things of that sort. Thankfully, I had my own funds to tap into, but had I not, I often think, would IMS still be here? So that's the only obstacle I think I've faced thus far.
That's been problematic. You know, it's opportunity. You can have a great idea. You can have a great work ethic. But business takes money to get off the ground and to get going. And you know, they say, don't let anything stop you. Well, except money, right? Because you have to be able to pay, pay for things. So being able to tap into those resources, and I'm very hopeful, although that we've seen some SBA programs and other programs, and even locally, you should check all your local chapters of the business sector and local and state to see
yes.
what may be offered, because a lot of times there are so many things that are offered out there, but they're not promoted. So you wonder, why have a program if you're not going to promote it, which leads you to believe, do they really just not want to promote it and just say, well, we have it? So, you know, there you have to sometimes dig, right? They say the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
That's true. That's true. And I would also say, so in addition to the women organizations that I've been able to join, another organization that was very helpful in my entrepreneurship journey has been the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So any of my former colleagues who call me and ask for advice on starting their business, I always tell them, get plugged in with your Chamber of Commerce. There are different programs and initiatives, you know, that they will get you plugged into as well. And then I would say also, if you're looking to give back to the community, one of the great organizations that gives back to whichever community you're in is the Rotary Club. Mm-hmm. So they perfectly aligned with my Air Force kind of core values, which was service before self. And so I've been able to plug in with them and kind of get back to our community. So that's been nice. But yeah, you have to get plugged in. That's true.
I'm a huge believer in giving back, and being a minority owned business or minority business owner like you are, and you've faced some of the struggles and you've learned along the way, your ability to give back and talk to other people about it is invaluable. People ask me sometimes, why do you do this podcast? And I jokingly say, well, it's not for the pay because it's free. And it's certainly not for promotion of my services because I don't talk about my company. It's just that the IBBA, the International Business Brokers Association, has been so good to me. And without what I learned from this organization and for the people that when I joined that were so giving of their time and their resources and their knowledge, I wouldn't be in my 22nd year in business brokers. I don't know that I would have made it, you know, or been as successful as I have been. So when you've been privileged enough to get that, you should give back. So I commend you for doing that because I think it's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, every chance I get, I try to, Chris.
Well, I'm sure people are very thankful for that. I'm sure they are.
All righty.
So, we talked about some of the negative stuff. So talk to me about some of the advantages of being a minority business owner.
I would say some of the advantages. You know, I try to, I know, some of the advantages, I can't think of any advantages besides, and I don't know if they come because I'm woman-owned small business or anything like that. I think just one of the advantages of just me being a business owner. So even though I check those boxes, I would say one of the advantages is to be able to provide jobs to the local community. I think one of the advantages are to be able to share my story with other people who look like me, who may have served in the military like me, to share my journey, to share my story, share my experiences with them, to let them know that it can be done and it can be done well. I think one of the main things that I would definitely, two main things. One is to have persistence, right? Even if the door is slammed in your face, you don't know why the door may be slammed in your face, but keep going because you will succeed if you don't give up. So that's one of the main things. And don't be afraid to pivot. And that may be part of my change management training as well. So being able to pivot when the market calls for you to pivot, if the client calls for you to pivot, be able to quickly pivot and keep the ball rolling. So those types of things, I don't know if they're an advantage because I'm a minority-owned business or because of all the training and skill sets I've gained throughout my career. But those things have really served me well, and I would share that with your audience as well.
I don't know if they come from being a minority-owned business either, but a minority business owner. But I could tell you what you've outlined many times throughout this conversation and talk that we're having is really you've laid a foundation for people out there and talk to them about what they could do, how they can do, and what they need to do. And you just keep dropping nuggets, some gold nuggets of great information for everyone. And so I hope they're listening closely because the advice you're giving is truly invaluable. I mean, I'm going to go back and listen to this and take notes as we go. I love a lot of the things that you've said. So thank you so much.
Well, good. I want to share valuable information.
Well, the worst part about my job of doing the podcast, Lisa, not to cut you off, I apologize, is we get towards the end sometimes because I could do these podcasts. I can interview you probably for 2 hours and not even touch the surface on the things we'd like to talk about. But, you know, we're kind of limited to somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 minutes. But I do have two more things that I'd like to talk to you about because they're important for me to get in. Because I want to end on this note. But what advice you would have for any women that are out there that are thinking about or wanting to start a business, or any other minority group that we classify or talked about, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them to start off in about three different areas. So the first thing I would say is to get plugged into your local SCORE mentor or SCORE office. And so that is through the Small Business Administration. Every state and most cities have a SCORE representative or SCORE leader. And they basically give you free mentorship with regards to your business plan, with regards to strategies, financials, all things setting up your business. It's free of charge. It's through the SBA. Get plugged in with your SCORE, your local SCORE chapter. That's the first thing. Second, get a hold of your Dayton Chamber of Commerce. Dayton. I'm saying Dayton because I live in Dayton. But whichever city your listeners are in, their local chapter of the Chamber of Commerce. They need to make themselves known that, hey, I'm looking to start a business. What kinds of resources do you have? They put on different classes that are not very expensive, and so they won't hurt your pockets. I would start off with there, start getting the word out that you're looking to start a business. And then I would say from there, just start working on your business plan. And make sure that your financials are in order, because again, access to capital can be somewhat difficult. And so you need to make sure you have a nest egg or some type of cushion to hold you over until the bank says, yes, you're worthy of a loan now. But those kind of three things, I would say get plugged into those resources and definitely make sure you have a nice cushion, nest egg, to hold you over until your first contract or your first, you know, commitment where you'll start bringing in revenue. So those things would be the first three things.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Those are great. You've pretty much conquered everything you've taken on in your career and your life so far. So the obvious question is, what's next for Lisa Coker?
Yeah, so Lisa Coker is just going to grow Infinite Management Solutions. So we've been in business 5 years now and just looking to really grow in the federal government space. And we want to get more of a global outlook. So we'd like to do some work in Africa, in the UK. So those are some of the areas that we'd like to move into eventually. And we're just growing and just wanting to add value. And so that's what's next for Lisa Coker and raising my family, Chris. Like I said, those three kids, I have to continue raising them. Other than that, just enjoying the journey.
Well, the journey is certainly a path of success. And, you know, with the direction you're going in, you know, there are a lot of different contracts and avenues. You know, just because you're a business owner and you run a great company, you're going to do phenomenal. And then you have the opportunities for you know, retired military, African-American, woman-owned business. There's a lot of opportunities out there with contracts that could be utilized. You know, I look forward to the day where we don't have to have these type of conversations other than just talking about a great story. And we don't have to say minority-owned businesses or minority, but just a business owner. I look at you and I talk to you and you're a business owner and you're doing a heck of a job. And it's not for me to commend you, because who am I? But I commend you. I'm inspired by your story. And I'm in awe of the things you've been able to accomplish. So incredible job, Lisa.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. And again, thanks for having me. It has been an outstanding time with you. And I want to thank Kate as well. So thanks, Chris and Kate, for offering me the opportunity.
Well, hold on. Before you go, I always give everyone that comes on the show, because you're so gracious with your time, to tell us a little bit about, again, how someone could learn more about your company and contact you if need be.
Okay, awesome. So my name is Lisa Coker. Our website, get ready, you'll need a pen and paper because it's kind of long. It's www.infinite.com. Management Solutions, with an S on the end, spelled out, infinitemanagementsolutions.net. You'll find all things Infinite Management Solutions, my team, myself, my contact information. And so look forward to, if anyone in your audience, your listeners want to contact me, they can contact me right through that website. There's a contact me form. It'll go directly to my assistant and it'll get to me. So I look forward, if I can be of assistance to anyone who's listening, feel free to reach out to me. I would love to speak with fellow business owners and other listeners who'd like to sync up.
That's perfect. And I encourage you to reach out, check out Lisa's website and reach out to her. Elise, I wish you all the continued success and God bless to you and your family and your company and all the continued success going forward. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Chris. Have a good day.
You as well. So the listening audience out there, I hope Lisa's story inspired you or inspired someone to take that leap and head down the path of business ownership. I hope Lisa's story inspired other business owners or business professionals to be active in their community and give back by taking someone under your wings and helping them achieve their dreams. You know, encourage listeners. You know, I want to encourage listeners to support minority-owned businesses. Support and encourage minorities who dream of owning their own business one day, the future business owners. And although there's a growing segment of minority-owned businesses, there's so much more room for it to grow. So no matter what the color of your skin is, what your gender is, you can help the next generation of minority business owners. If you've been blessed in your business, pay it forward. Somewhere along the way, someone helped you. Now it's your turn. It's an obligation. It's our turn. We can all make a difference. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode of IBBA Insights. Please listen to the next episode where we're going to continue our series talking to minority business owners, and you're going to love the stories that are coming forward. So I highly encourage you to share them on your platforms, share them with friends, family, colleagues, and listen to the shows because they're impactful. Again, I'm your host, Chris Diglio. I wish you tremendous health and happiness until we're together again on IBBA Insights.